In America, there is plenty of light beer, and you can always find a party. In Russia, party always finds you.
No more threshold!
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now.
Boring!
Hey now, NOLA Trash Talk back again for episode 196. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy.
It is a Wednesday, June 6, 2018, D-Day.
Dosh Day.
Salute, D-Day.
Dosh Day.
No, Storm the Beach, Get Shot Day.
Josh, stop putting your arm down like the SS.
I'm saluting. I'm from the forehead.
I got you.
D-Day, Andrew Higgins, Build the Death Boat Day. Send the people into exposed fire off Normandy and Omaha Day.
Yeah.
That's us remembering. Did you like my little intro?
I did.
I wanted to clear up the bummer that is Childish Gambino's America tune. I wanted to go station to station.
Such a difference between when you know, Rocky IV was being filmed and the scene where
that
Apollo
intro,
Creed.
That intro literally is me making America great again.
Yes, I know. Apollo Creed comes out and he's like, "I want you." And you have James Brown. Ah, da, ah. I love that scene. And then, obviously, he comes to a screeching halt.
Well, Childish Gambino is one of the headliners for Voodoo that just announced yesterday. Nothing there I want to see. So while everyone else is lining up for Donald Glover and Marilyn Manson and A Perfect Circle and Mumford & Sons, I can't even finish the rest of this. No interest for me.
I have a question about Donald Glover. Has anyone pulled up his like early sketches from like 10, 11 years ago?
No.
Okay. Go when you have a chance, Donald Glover Spelling Bee, and see if that sketch would play in today's America.
Okay. I have not seen it. I'm just going off why you're bringing this up in a Spelling Bee.
Just because the Spelling Bee.
Super racist Spelling Bee?
It's a hilarious sketch.
So what's the joke of the sketch?
I can't really say it. Well, okay. So
a sketch from like SNL?
No, this is when their sketch comedy group was before they were popular.
Oh, okay.
They did the sketch called Bro Rape, which was hilarious. It was a play on the Chris Hansen thing, but it was just like bros in college dorms raping each other. Very funny. I recommend it. Spelling Bee was one where Donald Glover is the guy who runs the Spelling Bee,
the
moderator, thank you. He and this other guy, who's actually on SNL now, and he's been in a couple movies, are moderators. And they're coming up to the thing, and like, there's two white guys, or a white guy and a white gal. They come up to the phone, and Donald Glover, they're turning the page, and they're like, your word is nigger faggot.
I knew there was going to be some kind of racially charged thing in this sketch.
It's hilarious because they're like country of origin. They're doing this whole thing. And then the guy's like, I just can't do it. And they're like, disqualified. And then
the opponent's a black guy?
No, like all three of the opponents are white people. Okay. And then the third guy gets up and he just goes, or a gal, she just goes, boo, boo, boo. And she goes, boo, 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 boo. And then Don Glover goes, what'd you say? And then the sketch ends. But yeah, I was wondering how that sketch would be perceived on today's platform, but that was an aside. I'm sorry.
No, he's just fine. Getting all this. Do you like Childish Gambino?
I don't even know. You
have you watched the This Is America video?
No,
it's been out for a while. It's a cultural statement about the state of the country.
I look at these people who think that they're these cultural experts, and I don't know who this guy is. Pull up a picture of him. I don't even know who he is.
It's Lando Calrissian, as of the newest Star Wars movie. Do you not know? You just named the skit.
I got nothing.
That's Donald Glover is Childish Gambino.
Oh, Donald Glover is Childish Gambino. Sorry.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yes. I heard. Yes. They were raving about how wonderful his music video was and all this other nonsense, which is fine. You know, I just wanted to know why his past is not brought up constantly, constantly, constantly. This UFC fighter, her husband had a prison tattoo of a swastika, and they're like killing her about it. And she's like, sorry that my husband was in jail a very long time ago. And the Mexican guys were going to rape him unless he put a cross on his arm, which the side's bent. My bad.
I did not hear that story.
Exactly.
At all.
But again,
I'm disappointed that didn't trend.
It was actually very funny because one part of the tattoo, just a little swastika, you could tell it was a prison tattoo. But on his forearm, you have like the actual SS on it.
Ha, that's like
that ain't a prison tattoo player. So, no, but I just don't understand why, you know, when it's Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, you know, he gets a comedy special.
If we're going to talk about celebrities for a minute before we bite into the local shit for this past week, I don't know why the trending news stories, if you wake up and turn on the TV for all of planet Earth, which is what these news stations purport to report on, the news story is celebrity says crazy thing.
Wow.
People react.
Wow.
That's the most important thing going on in the world. I know news is dictated by clicks and viewers.
Ugh.
But I don't want to... Oh, whether you're Roseanne Ambien tweeting or you're Donald Glover making an art piece... I
just love how people think like... They see a meme on Facebook and they're like, oh, that's a fact.
People's lives aren't yours, though.
It's crazy.
They're wealthy and not wealthy, but rich, well-to-do, connected, are always going to have a gig, celebrities.
It's insane.
What their opinions do not reflect your living experience.
Right, they don't, and I don't care about it.
Go to the town hall and find the person that you most sympathize with.
I've just been watching a lot of these videos lately of like people interacting with the police. And they're like, oh, these racist pig cops, they needed body cams. So now they all have body cams, and they're all being caught doing the dumbest shit ever. And I saw this dumb, stupid broad on TV today who was on the Jersey Beach, and the cops, like, breathalyzed her, and then she had alcohol on her, but she was underage, 20. And they asked her name. She wouldn't provide her name. She started wilding out. She assaults one of the cops. Cop starts beating her. Yeah, and then trying to get her under control. All she had to do was provide her name. She's on, like, the talk show today with her attorney, and her explanation for why she didn't do any of this was just so annoying.
I want to bring up that girl from the talk show, the Catch Me Outside. How about that? She's on tour.
Of course she is. She's on tour doing what? I heard she has, like, an album of music videos.
She's got her performing name is Bad Barbie.
Right.
Okay. We also live in the world where Stormy Daniels came to New Orleans and cashed in, signing Make America Great Again hats.
Yeah, but I mean, luckily, we're not giving movie credits for the porn industry here.
Oh, she'll show up in like Scary Movie 17 or some kind of cameo, some level. Well, this stuff just makes you want to punch somebody in the face. Maybe you looked at the Nola Trash Talk Facebook page this week. The most popular video seems to be the one we posted of the street performer.
All right, like, can I say before you play this? Or can you press pause? Nothing made me... Okay, I'm sorry. I keep saying this because I thought that I couldn't be happier. There was this kid. There was a kid disrupting a bus, and the cops had to get on the bus and arrest the kid. And
where was this? When was this?
I don't know when it was. It was the other day. I don't know where it was. But this other kid is trying to help his friend, so he takes off his shirt like he's going to beat this cop, and another black cop comes out of nowhere like a middle linebacker and flattens this kid, straight up flattens him. I didn't think that I was going to be more happy with a getting socked in the face video. Or then I saw what was posted on Nola Trash Talk, and I was happier than I was seeing the kid get trucked.
Yeah, so let's see. Our play-by-play is gold pants, blue shirt, dude dancing, making his bones out there. I guess, what street? Does it look like Royal Street, maybe?
Easily Bourbon.
Oh, you think it's definitely Bourbon?
Yeah, easily.
Okay. Bourbon, do a little crab walk, and then we got our onlooker dude, who I'm going to say Asian guy? Drunk Asian
Maybe
dude?
Filipino.
Maybe Filipino, and then wham!
Yeah, so this guy's like breakdancing for like, you know, 15 seconds or so, and this Filipino guy has his pants, they're not even halfway up his ass. Like, his pants, he's just messed up with a hand grenade.
I think no matter what his pants were, that socked to the face with a knockout.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, he's just like, I think he starts mimicking the guy, but he's obviously trashed. And the guy breakdances over to him and gives him.
Now, what lesson our takeaway here ultimately is, don't bring a hand grenade to a dance fight.
Ah, yes. And the dancer like moonwalks over to him and socks him with the right. He socks him with the right, like, hammer punch. Like, not, like, straight on. Like, you know how you do hammer curls?
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, boom, right in the neck. And this dude got socked. Ugh, it made me so happy. I have no idea why, though. Why did the street performer sock him in the face? He must have been, like, agitating him or, like, talking
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, we don't, yeah, you don't
there's
have
no,
the whole.
There's no music, there's no audio.
You don't
the
have
video.
The whole video, yeah. too. That guy might have been irritating him
for
a while. For,
like, an hour,
and
yeah.
And he's like, get out of my dance zone. I'm trying to, right. you know, make rent.
Yeah, you know, and no problem with this guy.
But I gotta say, that moonwalk punch move.
Dude, the moonwalk punch
move.
That
was like
nobody saw it coming.
That's a finisher right
Damn,
there.
Damn, wham!
That's like a, that's a wrestling finisher
dude.
Where your opponent's dazed.
Right.
And you do like the shake, rattle, and roll road dog. You know, one punch, two punch, little jig.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. That's like, that's like, this is like when The Rock is about to do the people's elbow and his eyebrow goes up.
I wish this video would have lasted another minute so the guy would just keep dancing as the other dude laid there unconscious.
Oh, nobody, yes, absolutely.
And nobody helped
because
him.
Because he hits him. He, like, hammer hits him, hammer punches him right in the portion of the jaw that knocks you out. And this dude is drunk enough that, like, a swift slap to the face would have knocked him out.
I watch classic, like, bouncer sucker punches, dude.
Right.
All the time.
Love him.
In every country, it's the same. It's some drunk guy mouthing off. Bouncer just doesn't give him. You can tell the bouncer's giving him like 20 warnings.
They, yeah.
But
they,
the video only catches it like the bouncer's right. just sucker punching a drunk dude. And the guys just go stiff as a board. Damn.
Wham. I love when it happens in New York, too.
And when they die, it's because they fell down and they hit their head on the curb or something.
Right. And I love that they do it in New York, too. Because these like rich white guys think that like, oh, because I paid my interest in the club. That I can do whatever and say whatever I want.
Or like what you said with the cops, well, I'm on camera, so.
Oh, then I'm good, yeah. Yeah, so I've just been watching these videos of like people interacting with, and then now the videos, some of the family members of the, quote, victim of the police say that the videos, that's racist. I don't believe that. Oh, yeah, that's what I've been hearing. That's racist. I don't believe that. Okay.
You don't believe the video?
No, I don't believe the video.
Ah, the videos.
Yeah, like this preacher gets pulled over, and this is what his thing was. He said, oh, this cop harassed me. This cop did this, cop did that. You know, I'm going to this, I'm going to that.
That's
okay.
What's the definition of harass? Because just getting pulled over because you were
right.
speeding?
Or
I'm being harassed.
Or you don't have a license plate in this guy's particular?
Oh, you know what I saw on Chopping Tools today? Or yesterday, Chopping Jackson, middle of the day. Like 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m.
That's a
dudes in the middle of chop. Middle of chop, checking for brake tags. Two
bam.
Cops.
There
by
you go.
Jackson, past Walmart.
Right, because it's the stoplight right there.
Right before the stoplight.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them ever out there.
Yeah, it's.
And I've started to see them double up the camera cars on chop.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have one by Nola Brewing, and then one up by Rouse's, which ultimately is pointless.
Do you know why?
Pointless throughout the whole course of the day because between, I'd say, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., you don't, as I've bitched about before, you can't get above 30 miles per hour.
Right.
Especially driving past Rouse's.
Well, do you know two reasons why you saw that?
No, the one by Rouse's is especially pointless.
It is.
No one's over going over 35 past that Rouse's.
Yeah, because it's a
Because cars are hitting the brakes
light.
And trying to turn into the parking lot.
Right. And there's a red light right
and
there.
And there's Dick and Jenny's.
Yeah.
And then you've got Hanson's right there. People don't know where they're going. They're looking for the street. No one's hitting 35 miles per hour.
But do you know why?
Explain to me why it is.
There's double the cameras, and there's people checking brake tags on.
That's
what I'm saying. School zones are up for 3 months.
Ah, that's it. School
zones. So school zones are normally where the cops check, especially on Metairie Road. They stand in the middle of Metairie Road on a school zone because
but that's JP. This is
same thing. Same concept is that. School zones are normally where cops check brake tags because you have to go slow.
So now that, I'm just thinking the
and
the school, cars
and the cameras. There's no more school zone cameras for 3 months.
So there's no school zone. So they have to double down.
So they
got to
get that money somewhere else. Win a chicken dinner.
Doing the math. I ain't that smart.
Did I tell you about how I got my brake tag?
You finally got your brake tag?
Oh, I didn't tell you.
With your window tinting?
Yes.
Did you just go to a shady brake tag place?
In
which case, this show is sponsored by Shady Brake Tags.
Oh, my God. You have to go to this place. It's one block off Conti and Broad. So the Whole Foods is right there. If you go across Broad on Conti.
Oh, Shady Mid-City.
Yeah, but it's a cab stand. So there's nothing but Arab guys who are all cabbies, and I'm almost positive everybody in there is an AK because they just let
discount
every...
Discount zone?
No, no, it's like it's an actual cab stand, and look, it's on the state's website.
That's where the cabbies get their brake tags?
Yes.
And you know those cabs are up to code.
Oh, yes, of course they are. So I was doing some research, and I was like, well, let's just see where the other places are. And they're like, oh, blah, 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 like Mid-City. And I'm like, what is this? So I roll up, go in. I'm like, hey, man, like, you know, I failed one like a while ago. He's like, my friend, you have $50? Yes. Can I see it? Okay. Cash. Do you have license?
Well,
he
charge you more than the usual cost, though.
Well, because, no, that's if you don't have a brake tag, though, it's it's double what it normally is. It's normally 25, right. And it's $2 a month for every month you're out. Gotcha. So that was fine.
My friend.
He's like, do you have $50 cash? Do you have driver's license and insurance and registration? Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Red, right signal, left signal, brake light, horn, reverse. All right, you're done. But I was out. In 90 seconds.
This is fantastic.
He goes, my friend, how'd you hear about this? I said, the state's website. He goes, oh. He goes, I don't know why we get no more notoriety. We are on the state's website. Tell your friends about me, man. I was okay, like, I absolutely will.
Brought to you by, can we get a photo of this place? I'll just put it up on the trash.
Oh, I absolutely will.
I was saying, fucking Shady Brake Tags.
It's, it's like the American.
Conti and Broad, baby.
American Cab Company, whatever. It's like all you see is a bunch of white cabs with like it's like the American Cab Company, and they have barely enough room to do a an inspection check, like barely.
Right.
You're like, where are you doing this at? But it's like, and I'm like, and he's like, oh, can I ask a question? Like, why you fail? I was like, the tint in my back. He's like, life's too short, my friend. And he slaps that sticker on. He goes, have a good day. So I couldn't have been happier.
That's you know, we just talk about how depressing it was getting with the more camera cars. Now you made my day. I don't even need a brake tag.
Right.
I'm just happy knowing this.
And I was just happy knowing.
I feel like this is Christmas joy I can go bring to the world. Like, I can go out and, like, anybody who bitches to me about their brake tag, I'd be like, you know what? I know a guy.
I know a place.
I know.
I was thinking to myself, I'm going to tell everyone I know about this place.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think, like, because you know how, like, if you give a brake tag on and, like, the tint in somebody's car is crazy, like, that, whoever issued.
Wait, how long has this been going on? Refresh me on when this, the window when, tinting, like,
the saga started?
The saga.
February of 2017.
Oh, so you were.
Jewel, yeah.
What, a year, 15 months?
Yeah, 15 months riding dirty. And that cop out in the French Quarter of the Stady was like, if I see you again, I'm doubling down on the fine. Because, like, he had pulled me over and he only gave me a seatbelt.
I'll never forget you.
Again.
Psycho white guy, midday
right,
quarter.
Well, I was just like, I can't drive near the quarter anymore because, number one, like, this guy is going to see me. That, you know, so I finally got it and it was, it might have been like the week before Memorial Day. God, I can't believe I didn't tell you that. I was like, I must have called like four people. I was like, you're never going to believe it.
Okay, so we can go back to some sick news. Our favorite boy in the world, Jefferson Parish President.
Yenny.
He wants to play with the kids again. And
Yenny likes Heinies.
And they're saying, no, Mike, knock it off. And he's saying, please, I just want to go play with the little boys.
The parish president of Jefferson Parish is writing formal requests to be allowed back on public school grounds, and he's being denied.
The guy, he's being denied, so he's got an outstanding ban on him being on school campuses, while also ignoring the, like, you should resign, you're a creep.
Yeah, two for one the wrong way.
And he's still...
So the lady who introduced the ban and how it was passed, he reached out to her personally saying, can you lift the ban? And she was like, no.
Are you still a creep?
You're a creep, man.
Yes, you are. No.
What if she was like, I'll lift the ban if you retire? And he retires. She goes, ha ha.
This is like those pet videos where, like, you're eating something and your dog kind of puts his paw up to go get some of the food and you smack the paw away and he waits a second and puts his paw back
exactly
up.
Exactly what
you
that
smack
is.
His paw away.
Except this is a man who wants to see 16-year-old Heinies
in the underwear that he bought for them.
Yes.
That gets left out of the, oh, he was texting kids dirty things. No, he was buying them underwear.
Yep.
This was way beyond asking them if they were wearing it.
Well,
way beyond.
So the only reason why he's not being charged with a crime is because the kid was 17?
And that's
is that the only reason why? Because it happened at Jesuit.
He's the parish president?
No, but it happened at Jesuit, though. So it wasn't like it happened at one of his schools or... I think if it would have happened at a public school in Jefferson Parish, that might have been a different story. But the fact that it happened at Jesuit and the kid was 17, there's really not much legally you can do. But again, but as the council, like the city council, that like there's no impeachment
in
process.
The world we live in, with all these people getting busted for grabbing ass and raping actresses and texting mean things, God. Mike Yenny just saying, no, I'm not resigning. Oh, by the way, can I come back to school? How about now?
All right. I don't know how local impeachment processes happen. But
it should be less complicated
right.
than federal. Shot but in the dark.
I'm assuming that if, let's say, 7 people have to vote on this, I'm assuming that he has dirt on the one vote.
Oh, that's also true. He was in a ring of
right.
of pedophiles, and one of them's his like his mentor,
right.
boss, partner.
I'm pretty
something.
Sure that
that's probably yeah.
The winning vote, he's got dirt on.
Once again, Steve with the wisdom that I didn't think about. Well, I didn't think one step further.
Very lucid during the week.
I haven't been drinking. I should be there. What you've got? Coffee?
Diet Coke.
I've been drinking coffee all day. I should be wide awake. Yeah, Mike Yenny, like the kid reaching his hand in the cookie jar and just, no, stop it.
Ugh.
Stop it.
Good old parish president.
There's somebody who moved away who's a friend of the program, and his dad was very involved in Jefferson Parish politics for a very long time. I bet if I asked him about this, he could probably say, yeah, why don't you look up this guy? I bet I could find it.
Oh.
This guy lives in... He's older. He's like 47, 48. He lives in Gainesville now, but I probably should reach out to him and say he would be actually great to have on
so
the stupid
podcast.
So
last week we talked a lot about the cartel of property owners in the city.
Oh, yes.
And why they keep these buildings just sitting around empty.
Yeah.
I figure I unraveled the questions, by the way.
Oh wow!
I went and talked to this. Actually, makes sense on a lot of things. And you don't really have to put your conspiracy theory cap on for this one. All the stuff like we were talking about the Plaza Tower last week, currently owned by Joe
Yeager.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Joe
Yeager. So I talked to a good buddy of mine, another landlord slumlord guy in the city who may or may not know this dude, and I was asking. Not only about Plaza Tower and the hot potato that is as people pass it around, just other giant abandoned things that we hear about that, oh, they're working on proposals to do something with this property or this patch of land, whether it's, you know, out in the east or on the water. So, yeah, it's just all tax write-offs, Steve. It's giant empty building tax write-offs.
All right, but...
That's all I got.
Okay, that is a crazy thing. Because of this.
I wanted your input on this, but that's what I got. I said, these guys have these buildings, Plaza Tower, Six Flags. Just think of giant abandoned buildings you've driven by 100 times. Who owns this? Who's doing anything with this?
Right.
It's all...
So
public blight is just somebody else saving money. That's all. But it doesn't make sense to our brains, because like, wouldn't you make more money if you did something with the property?
That or
right?
It comes down to a couple things. First of all, if you're paying property taxes and insurance on a building that's, quote, not in service,
right,
that's not tax deductible. I don't know what world you live in, but that's easy. That's like an easy, basic concept. Like, if you have a property that's not in service, that's not your first home or second home, those business expenses, they just accumulate into what's called passive loss activities, and they just go into this well, and they just keep accumulating, but you can't use them until you either do something with the property or sell it.
Well, then there's – it was something called the new market tax.
Okay. That might be a – that might be some local thing where, like, they bought something, like, after Katrina, and it was in, like, a, like an enterprise zone – and they might be getting, like, credits for that, or, like, state credits or something like that.
Right.
That could be an issue. But to me, it seems like, go back to the cash flow. It's like, I'm shelling out all this cash, and I'm not really getting any benefit for it.
That's why I had to go around. Right. I was like, someone please explain to this to me like I'm five. Why are these buildings sitting there empty? Why aren't these wealthy people who have them putting money or selling it, turning it, flipping it to someone who will do something with it? How can an empty property be valuable decades on?
Well, I think that these people have such an over exorbitant amount of money that them accumulating all those like losses over the years, if you will, that just in a holding tank, that doesn't even affect like their bottom line. Like
not at all.
So really,
but it's somebody underneath them somewhere who looks at their assets and says, like, hey, we could do something with this.
Right. And if you look at somebody like Joe Yeager, the dude is running an empire, okay? So he probably has a team of accountants that are in-house for him, and he probably outsources, like, his tax work to one of the big four firms.
I was digging into more stuff about people who know him, and we talked about this on last week's episode about his, rise from... Yeah. Dropping out of college and I only got told stuff about coming from money.
Oh, really?
That's it. Because all the stuff that nobody's life story, when someone gets an article published about them, talks about how much money, you know, they got.
Oh, no. They bring it up all the time.
Except Donald Trump's.
Oh,
like,
exactly. His dad gave him $1 million. And now, okay. Do you know how many times I've seen NBA players get hundreds of millions of dollars and blow it? A lot. Watch Broke 1 and 2.
But I mean, like, all the other lesser-known, low-level local people who got a couple hundred thousand from a dead uncle, or the family kicked them something after they finished grad school, or gave them their first property. That story in people's career bios, that little part, oh, well, Johnny bought his first property at 22 in the Ninth Ward. And it's this, like, well, he was just a good manager of money and assets, and he worked his way up, and now he owns 8 dealerships, and he's bought the Spurs, or something. Like, it's like those kind of stories. The beginning parts, I'm not making this a white privilege thing,
yeah,
because anybody can have this. I'm just saying those parts get left out, and those are the black holes where I'm reading about people's, you know, road to success. It doesn't all, like, make sense.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that you could find, I'm sure that, like, it's kind of like success is, like, again, where, like, luck and preparation, like, meet each other.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Don't fuck up.
So, like, you need some luck in your life.
I understand.
And then, but the drive to do that for 50 years,
I think
people should just
cop to the luck part. And the,
right.
There are people that do. Smart actors say, like, I really don't deserve any of this.
Yeah.
I just got really lucky.
I just listened to an interview for the guy who played Eazy-E on the
LeBron James was like, I just got really lucky with genetics. I'm just good at basketball.
Well, I don't think he would ever say that because, I mean, he works his ass off.
An NBA but it's like this is just how I've always been. It's like it wasn't a chore for me to work my ass off.
But it's
like Drew Brees right now is out at fucking Tulane. They're doing the home run. If he doesn't win the home run thing, he's going to go home and punch his wife just because that's in his DNA
right.
to like he has to compete.
But I mean, if
you don't train yourself to that,
if you think about LeBron, I mean, it's hard to be the best in the world at something, to continually be the best in the world.
Yeah, there's a baseline hard, but then for different people, there's different
like when you're
the speed to that achieving that hard.
Right. Well, I mean, he certainly
the speed
had
to achieving hard.
He certainly had the platform, and he took off with the platform. Most people don't have the platform, you know.
Right, but I'm saying, whoever you are, whatever it is, if you just say, like, hey, yeah, I had this, it was easy, I didn't really work hard for it, I just didn't fuck up.
Yeah.
That's more of it's not fumbling the ball. That's
a lot of it is, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is like, oh, I didn't get some.
And
I didn't
sometimes
get
you
eight.
Can fumble the ball and give underwear to high school kids when you're a parish president and not suffer any consequences.
Or like the cornerback from the Jets who has 10 kids from 9 baby mamas. Yeah, he was on.
Well, financially down the road, that's really going to bite him in the ass.
Yeah, so that's not fucking up. Like that's fumbling the ball.
Well, here's a guy who fumbled the ball. Dude working for the New Orleans corner. We've mentioned it before. He finally he admitted to dealing heroin from the city's the coroner's morgue van. Yes, the van that picks up the bodies, drops off the bodies. He was just dealing right out.
Why is like light skinned black eyes or like yeah?
His
like
name
Sugar,
was Sugar Man,
Sugar Ray Leonard, and now you got the Sugar Man,
Sugar Man Robinson.
Is it because heroin looks like sugar?
It says he. And this is on the Nola Trashic Facebook page. He's 60-year-old man. Several other guys, too, were also implicated by federal investigators who were already looking into a drug trafficking group with ties to Colombia. So they were already investigating.
Whoa, that's big time.
Yeah. So they were looking at something in New Orleans related to Colombia, and they stumbled across the Sugar Man working for the New Orleans coroner.
Oh, wow. I bet you my aunt have I told you about my aunt who's in the DEA?
Yes, you have.
And they brought a new like special agent for the DEA here. Oh God, I was trying to get her drunk and try to be like, yo, just give me one piece, give me one piece. What y'all working on? And even in her drunkest, she never will tell me. She'll just be like, ah, shut the fuck up.
Well, look at it. And said before in the 90s, the same guy got busted for possession and intending to distribute cocaine. 1995.
Yeah, it's way long ago.
Yeah,
though.
It was. He look, arrested, though, bounced back, got a job
but
with the city.
13 years before he was hired. And when was he hired? After Katrina. See how Katrina just kind of wiped everything away, like records.
Etch a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricane.
What that? He got hired in what, 2008?
Yeah.
Where's your record? Oh, all those records got washed away.
He also got charged with burglary in 2013. I tell you, folks, the golden rule, man, get a job with the city or the state.
I honestly.
You can do whatever you want. Heroin, kids.
I think that there are a handful of people who were being or going to be charged with serious crimes. Or like,
and he's already got another job. Or no unemployed person has an excuse.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, how many, but think about this real quick, and this is just like a tangent from this, but how many people were getting charged with serious crimes or maybe let on their, or like on bail or something, and Hurricane Katrina hits, and like, boom, like everything's erased. You just have to let.
What does this go back to? Luck.
You just have to let the statute run out.
Luck.
So just go away, and then this, whatever you did. The statute's going to run out, so if 10 years later, like now, or even more than 10 years, but like 10 years rolls by, you're like, I can come back in the city and do whatever I want.
Well, check this out. Since this is investigation tied to a DEA thing where they're looking at a major drug organization with ties to Colombia, well, I was talking about our New Orleans real estate Illuminati guys with a bartender over the weekend, and then he brought up this fact. He's like, you know what? Funny you mention it. Because he's like, I got a buddy in the Coast Guard, and like routinely, shady-ass boats pull up, he's talking for his friend. He's saying, they call him in, and like, what do we got coming up here? And they're told, don't worry about it. And he says, the boats pull up, and there's these unmarked box trucks, and they just unload cargo off the boat on the trucks in the middle of the night, all over the place. And he said, his buddy at the Coast Guard says it's the shadiest shit, and it happens all the time.
Wow.
So where do you think those boats are coming from?
Well, I mean,
if they're looking for a drug thing from Colombia, I'm sure it's coming from south up.
Right. I mean, if you ever watched Cocaine Cowboys, great documentary. I mean,
this is firsthand, like someone telling me at a bar, hey, my buddy works for the Coast Guard. He says they look the other way
like
all the time.
Well, that means that somebody's getting paid like way up top.
Absolutely.
Because you'd never be that ballsy just to run in with a ship full of stuff. That's ballsy.
No, that's a protected deal.
Right, that means you're already good. Oh, wow.
So just file that one away with the whole drug epidemic in this world or this country.
I told you to stop playing with me, Tony, you little monkey.
They got the lower class hooked on the illegals, and then they got the middle class hooked on the pharmaceuticals.
Oh, because Sosa said so. Sorry, I can't.
They should do a new Scarface movie where he just is a pharmaceutical rep.
Dude, My aunt told me, and this is after like they busted the guy, and she obviously didn't tell me any details. They found $5 million
cash
in cash in the walls of somebody's house. In the walls. Not in the walls, was it like another 10? So it's 15, and he was a pharmacist, $15 million in cash.
Oh, was this the thing on the West Bank?
No, this is in Philly.
Oh,
She's at a DA agent, so she tells me about stuff all the time, you know, years after it's been settled. But I was just imagining, like, $15 million in cash. Like, if you watch Scarface montage videos, like, how much is in that duffel bag that they're carrying in the bank?
The push it to the limit?
Yeah.
Montage?
Push it to the limit.
I don't know.
Yeah!
Is there a measurement on Google if I could do trash bag to money? Like, weight?
Right. I guess it depends what denomination it is. But she said this. She said the $5 million in the walls, all 20s. Not even hundreds.
That's because the bigger bills are harder to move, I guess, and break.
I guess. I don't know.
I'm assuming that just it from life them, experience of trying to break 50s at places.
Took them 3 weeks to get all the money.
I heard some Illuminati shit when and this kind of is out of New Orleans. This is in like Switzerland or in Holland. They said they get truckloads of money from Iran, and their job was to, you know, clean the money, get it back into the system. And he said this guy was this like Dutch banker said there were times when they had like push brooms of getting cash out of these trucks, Iranian money that they needed to somehow legally quote unquote launder back into the economy. They were getting paid for, you know, whatever.
I love that series Ozark, man. That fascinated me. Did you watch it at all?
No, I don't watch it.
Netflix series. It was good. It was about washing
I pay
money.
For Netflix like a fool for all the roommates, and then I never sit down and watch it.
Watch Ozark. You're going to like it. Trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. You'll get
I'm
hooked.
Thinking about camping out somewhere on the coast and just watching these boats roll in.
Oh, man. Your boy who's on the Coast Guard is in California?
No, it's here.
Oh,
it's Coast Guard here. Oh. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're investigating a heroin ring from with ties to Colombia, New Orleans.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I thought.
I'm reading that like the day after a friend's being like, my friend is in the Coast Guard. He says they have boats pull up here all the time, and trucks are just loading up, and the Coast Guard's told just look the other way.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
That's the when you like. I don't have a lot of experience sailing on the Gulf of Mexico, but I went on that cruise last year. Yeah, the only other boats out there when you're getting out of the river. Into the Gulf proper, it's Coast Guard things, and then you know you can see the oil rigs eventually in the distance.
I probably told this story before, but Dollar Dave was out deep sea fishing with his dad, his buddy's dad, and like two of his buddies. There's like five of them, and they were deep sea fishing. Well, they hooked on to something, and they brought it in, and he said that there were like 10 large cubes of cocaine. And have possibly like $100,000 in just cash
in the
bag
in the water.
Yes, and they have a name for these things. They're called like
I've heard about this before.
Like anyway, but
there was probably some kind of GPS thing in those, right?
They didn't call the whatever. They wrapped it back up, threw it back in the water, and bounced.
That's the most unbelievable part of that story.
I'm serious. I wish he was here. Like, he obviously has much more details about it than I do, but that's basically
out in the Gulf.
Yeah, is that like off the coast of Florida?
Once again, where right. Stuff's going one way, and
they call them like I can't. Think, they call them like something like white anchors or like something like that.
Maybe green anchors.
So I have to tell you what the name of that is, but just like a fascinating story. And of course, I'm like, Dave, what the hell are you talking about? So of course, when I met his dad for the first time, there was a couple of things I needed to verify. And I was like, oh, Mr. Curtin, what was up with that boat thing? He's like, oh yeah, if somebody was dealing the drugs, you know, he's off the boat Irish guy. He's like, yeah, we just threw that back. We threw it back in the water. I'm like, oh God.
Somebody had the prescience there to be like, I know what happens when you take the money.
Yeah, I think it was like the guy who owned the boat was like, nah, I'm not getting got with old no country for old men with the GPS device. I'm not getting breathalyzed.
I'm thinking with the payoffs at this level, I mean, they probably have, like, the cartels can watch it from satellites.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, oh, here's who took our money.
Ugh. That's the thing. I think they opened it, and they're like, nope, tossed, and then bounced. Like, no one, nothing to do with this.
I wouldn't be surprised years down the road, Dave's, like, at a Burger King, and a guy comes up to him and is like, what you did with that money on the boat? That was a smart thing.
It was very smart.
Years later, after Dave has, like three kids, he's like, you know, three, and he's going to know exactly how many kids he's.
Oh,
like,
man.
You know, they all really appreciate you for that.
Yeah, so.
The guy gets in a black SUV and disappears. Dave just gets a burger and forgets about it.
Okay. Good decision, Dad.
Steve, did you enjoy your birthday last weekend?
Oh, God. Did I ever? I had a birthday weekend, and I've never had that in my life.
I don't know about the weekend. It was Galatoire's 33.
Well, no, it was like I did something that night, I did something the next night, and did something the next night.
Josh didn't get invited to any of the other things.
I know the other thing. Whatever, like random stuff.
What I really liked in the French Quarter was that Touche place on Royal with the little.
That was nice.
The 70s.
Have you ever been there before?
No, and when I've walked past it,
I didn't know that lounge was down there.
My eyes always miss that downstairs lounge, that 70s basement smoke a bowl lounge.
Yeah,
with the hardwood walls, very very cozy. And even though it's open to the outside completely,
it was like cool. It was like two different worlds.
Yeah,
huh?
The air conditioning was on point. The way the weather's going now, the French Quarter is,
it's brutal.
With the combination of people, yeah, no,
yeah. So after Galatoire's 33 was fun. Young Money picked up the tab. I was very happy about that.
I've heard your wife on the radio is trying to shell coupons for people to come visit the French
Quarter.
Oh, yeah,
the passport.
The passports.
The passport program.
The coupons.
Yeah.
All I can hear is your brother screaming, coupon waving trash.
It actually is like some of the stuff.
I'm sure it's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
But it's still coupons.
Well, it's like it's a way for – they only do it in the summer. It's like a way to drum up the summer business. But, I mean, like nowadays, like what? Like there's no difference between summer and fall now. You don't see a drop-off at all. It's nothing but, you know, just more in-the-way people.
Yeah.
Looking up at the sky. Are we on Toulouse? Where are we? Excuse me. Where's Miss Sparrows at?
And I'm out here, not procreating.
Right.
Not adding to the problem.
Exactly.
I'm the psychopath. You know what broke today? And the only reason I bring it up was because of I had to buy gifts for an ex-girlfriend once upon a time. That fashion designer, David Spade's cousin, Kate Spade, hung herself. She's like 55, hung herself.
Yeah, I know.
And everybody took that because I guess, you know, all the girls have Kate Spade stuff, so they had to post something on social media about how big of an issue mental health is, and we need to address it more.
Oh.
And my mind was like, so suicide is a mental health issue, but wanting to live way past your physical prime and be a burden on those around you into your twilight years is not crazy.
That's not crazy. That's the definition of sanity.
Wanting to step out when the time is up on your own accord, that's crazy. That's a mental. We didn't address that person's mental health issue, but waiting to get old and sad and making your kids and grandkids be the ones to wheel you around in your half catatonic state.
There's going to be some people that don't appreciate this statement.
I know. I know.
But those of you who do not want to be here, the door is right there.
Exactly. And if you're
I'm sad in my own life.
And if you're Robin Williams and you did everything you wanted to do,
including steal jokes,
and you're still like, well, it only gets worse from here.
Off you go.
Bye bye.
I just always say,
I'm surprised more people like Kate Spade, Robin Williams, and the super wealthy top of their game in their fields. I'm surprised more of them don't drop off hangings, overdoses, and like late 50s, early 60s, mid 60s. Just when it gets retirement age, it's like, well, it doesn't get any more fun. The back, the lower back went, the knees are going.
Looks are gone. I did 25 years strong.
All right, well, we're going to end on a very depressing note, but we're going to try to cheer everyone up with a positive American sentiment for this week's episode. But this is NOLA Trash Talk. I'm the Prof. Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy.
See you next week.